Good evening, and welcome to the Aftermarket Briefing. I'm Mia.
And I'm Milo. It's been a session where geopolitics and markets collided. Oil back above $100, treasury operations under scrutiny, and a wave of corporate news from aerospace to streaming. We'll walk through what actually moved, what it means, and what to watch tomorrow, keeping the facts separate from interpretation.
Let's start where the tape started. Crude. Brent topped $100 a barrel for the first time since July and extended gains to above $101 as fighting between the U.S. and Iran escalated in the Persian Gulf.
The backdrop is escalating attacks on both sides, with tankers targeted near the Strait of Hormuz. There's also a conflicting report to flag. Iran claimed it struck two American vessels in retaliation for earlier strikes, and the U.S. denied that claim. So attacks near a critical energy choke point are real. The specific vessel claims are disputed.
Why it matters is straightforward. The Strait of Hormuz is a key artery for energy flows, and any perceived threat to shipping gets priced into crude quickly. What's still unknown is whether energy flows are actually disrupted or whether this remains a risk premium.
And the knock-on effects showed up elsewhere in energy. U.S. diesel stockpiles are projected to fall this month to their lowest level in over two decades, going back to 2003, according to a new government report. And that's happening just ahead of peak demand season.
The report attributes the tightness to wars around the world, choking flows from key export hubs. That's the supply side. On the demand side, there's at least one counterpoint. South Africa's Central Energy Fund outlined plans to revive oil refining capacity, aiming to at least triple local processing of crude and reduce dependence on fuel imports. That's a longer-term structural story, not something that changes this month's stockpile numbers.
Europe is feeling the same pressure through gas. European natural gas surged above 80 euros a megawatt hour for the first time in more than 3 years, driven by the Middle East war pushing up energy costs just as winter approaches. That's a threat to the region's economy that European investors will be weighing separately from the U.S. tape.
So on commodities, Brent above 101, diesel at 20-year lows ahead of peak demand, European gas at a 3-year high. The uncertainty is whether flows through Hormuz stay open. Watch tanker traffic, any confirmed disruptions, and the next government inventory data.
From oil to bonds and currencies, where Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent was very much in the market's face today. The Treasury Department announced it will buy back up to $6 billion in longer-term debt, tripling the normal buyback operation and tripling the initial size of the next buyback of longer-dated government debt.
Here's the interesting part. Investors were disappointed. They had expected an even larger increase, so an operation that triples the normal level was still read as underwhelming by parts of the market.
Context matters here. This follows Bessent's rhetoric. He warned FX traders, quote, "I'm the house now," and dared the market to bet against the Japanese yen. So the buyback announcement and the yen rhetoric are part of the same push.
What changed? Treasury tripled the buyback to up to $6 billion. Affected assets, longer-dated treasuries, and, by extension, the yen. Direction and magnitude of market reaction. The announcement itself was met with disappointment. That's the reported reaction. We don't have a specific yield or yen move quantified in what we have. Why it matters. Buybacks of longer-dated debt are a tool to support the long end, and if the market wanted more, that says something about demand for duration. The uncertainty is whether this operation actually steadies treasuries and the yen, or whether traders call Bessent's bluff. Watch the execution of the buyback and yen levels.
Staying with trade policy, and this one hit specific stocks. The Trump administration revealed import bans on a slew of Canadian goods, motorbikes, alcohol, and dairy products, due to take effect September 29th. On top of that, President Trump threatened to bar Canadian-origin products from being sold to federal contractors.
The market transmission was direct. shares of Canadian companies that do business with the U.S. government fell following that threat. So the reported move is in Canadian equities with U.S. government exposure, down on the news.
The escalation is deepening the rift between the two countries, and Trump is also set to speak at the Republican National Convention in Dallas, Texas. So there's a potential platform for further trade announcements. What to watch? Whether the September 29th bans actually take effect, and whether the contractor threat becomes formal policy.
Turning to equities and strategy. And here we should be careful to separate opinion from reported fact. Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson, the firm's chief U.S. equity strategist and CIO, says we're still in a bull market, but he flags higher oil prices and interest rates as risks to stocks.
Wilson's specific guidance? He says the risks from oil are not insurmountable. Markets have digested multiple risks through the year, and Morgan Stanley is rotating rather than reducing overall equity exposure. His hedging recommendation is to continue owning energy stocks.
That's strategist commentary, not a market move. We're reporting his view as his view. But it connects directly to the crude story we opened with. If oil stays above 100, Wilson is watching crude product prices as a short-term concern for stock sentiment.
A couple of supporting data points on the macro side. Citizens Financial Group CEO Bruce Van Saun says the U.S. economy is strong and consumers are spending, though cautiously, and notably, he says customers have figured out how to absorb higher energy costs. He also doesn't expect the Fed to raise rates soon. That's one CEO's read, but it's a data point on the consumer side of the oil price question.
And separately, on the Fed theme. As the Trump administration ramps up pressure on the Federal Reserve, some experts argue consumers may actually be better served if officials back off. That is, that lower rates pushed politically might not be the best outcome. That's expert interpretation, not a market move.
Also in the strategy conversation, Jim Cramer's Investing Club recommends being, quote, a little more reserved about data center stocks. Again, commentary. And it's worth noting CoreWeave CEO Mike Intrator attributed public pushback on AI to the speed of change, saying, and that is frightening. So there's an active debate around AI infrastructure sentiment, though we don't have a specific stock move attached.
Now to deal flow, where there were two clear corporate stories. The big one, GE Aerospace agreed to buy Consolidated Precision Products from Warburg Pincus and Berkshire Partners for $11.75 billion.
The strategic logic. The deal significantly expands the jet engine manufacturer's capacity for critical components, castings specifically. That's a capacity and supply chain play in aerospace. What we don't have is the market reaction to the announcement quantified, so treat it as a reported transaction rather than a demonstrated move.
The second story did have a clear reaction. Comcast shares slid on Wednesday after Chief Financial Officer Jason Armstrong said he sees no improvement in broadband subscriber losses in the current quarter.
Why the losses persist, per the reporting. Competitors are offering lower prices that lure customers away. So the catalyst was guidance-flavored commentary from the CFO. No improvement expected this quarter, and the stock slid on it. That's a direct same-session move tied to a specific statement.
And the deal space was busy beyond those two. A significant shareholder in Xerox is pushing the company to unlock shareholder value and asking for a strategic review of its financial services business. Enbridge, the Canadian energy infrastructure giant, is in advanced talks to buy a major U.S. crude oil pipeline from Blackstone's Tallgrass Energy for about $2 billion, though that's according to people familiar with the matter, so not confirmed. And in Canadian oil, Tamarack's deal to take over Headwater spotlights the appeal of Alberta's Clearwater play.
There's even a soccer angle. Benfica shareholder José Antonio dos Santos says he's been approached by several investors interested in buying his 16.4% stake in the club after a previous deal fell through. Smaller story, but it's live deal activity.
Finally, AI and the IPO pipeline. Anthropic is set to finalize an expansion of its revolving credit facility to $15 billion, according to people familiar with the matter, and that clears a hurdle before the AI firm's public filing for its highly anticipated IPO.
The precedent being cited on the deals panel, SpaceX's IPO path. And on the risk side of the same story, this is a striking one. Anthropic researcher Jacob Coxon exited the company with a stark warning, saying in a post on X that Anthropic and OpenAI are, quote, gambling with our lives, and stating AI has more than a 10% chance of, in his words, killing all humans. Experts weighed in on that claim. That's a reputational and regulatory overhang for the AI sector to monitor. It's opinion and prediction, not a market event. But it came from inside one of the sector's leading firms.
Let me pull the thread together for the close. The session's demonstrated moves. Brent above 101 on U.S.-Iran escalation. Canadian stocks with U.S. government ties down on trade threats. Comcast sliding on broadband commentary. And a Treasury buyback that tripled the norm, but underwhelmed.
The watch list. Tanker traffic and energy flows through Hormuz. Diesel inventories into peak demand. Whether the buyback steadies the long end and the yen, the September 29th date for Canadian import bans, and the Anthropic credit expansion ahead of any IPO filing.
That's the briefing. Clear-eyed, no hype. For Milo and me, thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the next close.